Make sure you have a copy of God's Word, and we have the privilege this morning again. Last week, you were graced with a word from two of our young men, and we've got two more this morning that are going to share with you something that God has been teaching them, and that they have gleaned from the truth of God's Word. But as they did that, I wanted to share with you briefly, just in light of them sharing something really dear to my heart, and as also as a young man in ministry that I've had to come to remind myself of often. And in 1 Timothy, the Apostle Paul says to Timothy, also a young man, he says, "Have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, for to this end we toil and strive because we have our hope set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe. Command and teach these things. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity." And I can't think of a more specific prayer that we have for our young people to grow in godliness and to speak the truth boldly. And I would encourage you here this morning to not let their age distract you from their ability to exposit the Word of God. And pray for them and pray that God would teach you very specifically from His Word this morning. So, guys, come on up.
So, here we have Grant's nice and fancy iPad. And here we have a box. I'm going to put the iPad in the box. We're going to set it on the floor. So, if Grant were to jump on the box, what do you think would happen to the iPad? Would it be okay? Would you have faith that it would be okay? That is exactly what we're going to be talking about today, faith. Now, if everyone would stand and open their Bibles to Hebrews 11. And we're going to read verses 1 through 6. "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. For by it the men of old gained approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous. God, testifying about his gifts, and through his faith, though he is dead, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God took him up, for he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he rewards those who seek him." Dear God, I pray that as we read your word here, that you might open our hearts to hear what you want us to hear in this. I pray that we might all learn something here in your word today. I pray this in all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Now, the book of Hebrews is interesting. We don't know for sure who the author is, but there are many speculations on who wrote Hebrews, but I'm not going to go into that right now. There are a few things we do know about Hebrews, though. In some versions of the Bible, the author refers to Hebrews as a word of exhortation. That same word is used in Acts 13:15 to describe a sermon. It can also be translated as a word of encouragement. The letter of Hebrews was written to the Jews in their time of persecution. Now we know what the book was written about and to who, but we're going to look about what faith is. First, there is the word faith. The Greek word for faith is pistis. It can be translated as trustworthiness or dependable. It's normally translated as belief, trust, or something someone knows for sure to be true. There are a lot of things that people assume about faith, and here are some of them. First, there's the leap of faith, where you're not sure if God exists, but things are so bad you sure hope he does. And then there's the presumptuous faith, where you quit your job and trust God to supply for your needs. People who do this often blame God when things don't work out like they want. Then there's the positive thinking faith. This one's my favorite. It's where if you just believe hard enough that everything will be okay, then it will. That's just having faith in faith. Now, if we look at Hebrews' definition of faith, we can see in verse 1 that it says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen." Now, this isn't a super detailed definition, so let's break it down. Assurance, or if you have the King James Bible, substance. The Greek word translates support or stability. This is talking about something you believe you know to be true or unchanging. Now, when it talks about things hoped for, it's not talking about wishful thinking, but a confident anticipation. That means you know for absolute certainty what the future holds. If you notice, faith always refers to the future. Like if I say, "Man, I can't wait to know what I had for breakfast this morning." It's the same with faith. Whether you're trusting God to supply for your needs, or if you're trusting him to help you with a tough decision, it'd be silly to trust in something you already know happened. Then there's the word conviction. A conviction is a personal belief, not a standard, meaning that if you think you have to dress a certain way, that would be a conviction. A standard is something that is clearly stated as an absolute truth that applies to everyone. Now, if we reread this verse with everything we have learned, it would sound something like this. Now, faith is the support of things confidently anticipated for and the personal belief of things not seen. Now, I think we know what faith is, but why do we need it? It tells us in verse 6. "And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For if he who comes to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him." Now, this verse is pretty easy to understand. First, it says, "And without faith, it is impossible to please him." That means if we want to please God, we have to have faith. Without it, there is no way we can please him. The next part of this verse says, "For he who comes to God must believe that he exists." This is referring back to faith. If anyone comes to God, or another way of saying it is if anyone draws near to God, they have to have that personal belief or conviction that he exists. We need to have faith that he exists. Now, the Bible talks a lot about what happens when we believe. In John 3:16, it says, "Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." In Mark 9:23, it says, "All things are possible to him who believes." In Acts 13:31, it says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved." Now, if we turn back to Hebrews 11, it says that he rewards those who seek him, which is exactly what we just saw. Faith is the core of our worship. Just like we see in verse 4, Abel worshiped by faith. And at the end of that verse, it says that through faith, even though he is dead, he still speaks. In the next verse, it talks about Enoch. The Bible says that Enoch walked with God. As we learned, that can only be by faith. Dear God, I pray that everyone here hears the truth in your word here today. And everyone goes home to their lives, Lord. I pray that their lives might be changed and by you, and that they might live their lives in faith towards you, God. I also pray for Grant as he comes up here and teaches us all from your word, God. I pray that you might open the hearts of your people here today, I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right. So if you guys are not still in Hebrews 11, you're going to want to turn back there because we will still be there. And we'll be kind of jumping around to some different verses in that chapter. If you noticed, our bulletins today don't have anything on them. It's for you to take very extensive notes, and you have to pay extra good attention. So, Colton talked about biblical faith, but why is biblical faith important? An example of this that I may have used before is that when I was at CYA camp my first time, Christian Youth in Action camp, we go out and we talk to kids in parks and stuff. So you go out and just talk to total strangers about Jesus and stuff like that. And I was super nervous about this because I felt like everything depended on me. I had to remember the verses. I had to give proper intros and stuff. And that if I failed, that these people could be condemned because I didn't deliver the gospel well enough. But before we prayed, before we left, our group just prayed, and we asked that God would just work through us, whether we did good or bad. And as we went out into the parks that day, it ended up being an awesome time, and I think some people even accepted Jesus, and it was super cool. And there have been other times, though, when instead of trusting in God, I've trusted in my own abilities. Like that if I just study hard enough or pray enough that I will be able to teach God's word or lead people to Christ on my own. And I would still like ask for God to help me, but I kind of figured, you know, done this a couple times, if God doesn't help me, it'll still be all right. So one example of this has been at teaching good news clubs. And just, you know, I'd been caught up in my schedule being busy, didn't feel like I had enough time to prepare fully. And so I trusted in my own strength instead of in God. And these times I felt like it was more of a chore than a joy to tell the kids about Jesus. And I felt like even when I had studied thoroughly and spoke what I thought was well, that my words were not making any impact on the kids. And this is the difference that faith makes. When you have faith in God, things that were impossible before can be made possible through his power. When you don't have faith in God, and when you have faith in yourself, then there's no one to help you when you fail. I believe that this is why it is written in 2 Corinthians 12:9, God's strength is made perfect in our weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmity, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So, like Colton talked about, faith brings assurance, and this is really important. It's like an anchor. When you can't see what's ahead of you, you can have faith in what God's plan is. And faith also gives you hope because of this. You can know that God has a plan for you and that it's not just, the future is not uncertain. The future is based on God's plan. Faith is also the only way to please God. And Hebrews 11:6 states this very clearly. Would you all turn to Hebrews 11:6 with me? But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. When you stop and think about it, it's really the only way it makes sense. Why would you want to live your whole life trying to please a God that you don't believe exists? Why would you want to follow all the rules to try and obey a God that you don't believe is real? It'd be silly to do that. Cain tried to offer sacrifices without having faith, and it was rejected. Judas, he tried to repent without having faith in God, and without that faith, he had no hope, and he killed himself. Now, Hebrews 11:3 says, 11:2, for by it the elders obtained a good testimony. This is talking about the people who were alive before Christ came. And they were counted as righteous because of their faith. Turn to Hebrews 11:8, please. By By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. So this says that Abraham went out not knowing where he was going. Now, Abraham had originally lived in Ur of the Chaldeans, and by the time he had finished his journey, he had traveled over 1,000 miles. Now, according to Answers.com, this could be achieved in quite a while. What it said was that an average caravan could travel as fast as 12 miles a day and an average of 8 miles a day, depending on weather and terrain and how many were in the caravan and stuff like that. And Abraham was traveling with his nephew Lot and his grandfather Terah. Terah did not survive the entire journey. He died in the land of Haran. And some Bible scholars think that this is because Abraham was commanded to get out of his country, from his family, and from his father's house to a land that God would show him. So it's like God is saying, hey, I told you to leave your family, not take them with you. If the caravan were able to average about 8 miles a day, this journey would take them approximately 125 days. That's about a third of a year, having no idea where they were going. Would you have the faith to follow where God was telling you to go for a third of a year without asking for directions? Abraham must have had an enormous amount of faith to obey God in this. And Abraham, it says in Hebrews 11, 17 and 19, this mentions another example of Abraham's faith. There we go. It says, by faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promise offered up his only begotten son. And then in verse 19 it says, concluding that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figure. Yeah. Yes. So notice that in Genesis 22:5, where this story is originally recounted, that Abraham, when he goes to the land, or goes to where God told him to go with Isaac, he says to his servants, stay here with the donkey, the lad and I will go yonder, and we will come back to you. And they go yonder to worship. So God had told Abraham to take his son to this place and to sacrifice him. But Abraham, he accounted that God could even raise Isaac back from the dead if that's what he wanted. This is a taste of what Abraham's faith is like. I want you to imagine if God told you to go and offer maybe something that's valuable to you to somebody else, or even your own child. If you went and if God did not return your child to you, say God wanted you to sacrifice your child like he did with Abraham, would you want to worship God if God did not return your child to you? I know I probably wouldn't. I would think, like, what's going on? Did I not understand what he wanted me to do? Did I not do what was right? But Abraham, he says that they are both going to worship and that they will come back. And this is the kind of faith that Abraham had. Abraham even goes to the extent of grabbing the knife to slay his son Isaac before God stops him. Abraham did not expect to just go to this place and go with Isaac and then like wait around for God to deliver the right sacrifice. He fully trusted that God would be able to bring Isaac back from the dead and that God would have the power to do what he wanted. Another good example of faith that is mentioned in Hebrews 11 is Sarah. This is in Hebrews 11:11. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. So originally, in Genesis 18, if you will turn there with me, the Lord had appeared to Abraham by some trees while they were camping out and stuff, and he had told them that he was going to give Sarah a child. And Sarah had originally laughed at this. And so it says in Genesis 18:10, I will certainly return to you according to the time of life. And behold, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. Sarah was listening in the tent door which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well advanced in age, and Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I have grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I surely bear a child since I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you, according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. But Sarah denied it, saying, I did not laugh, for she was afraid. And he said, no, but you did laugh. To me, this is one of the funniest parts of the Bible, because Sarah is sitting there in the tent listening, and she's laughing that God is saying that she would have a child. And then God just turns to her and says, is anything too hard for the Lord? And I can just imagine her going completely pale and going, no, I did not laugh. It's like a little child when they do something that they know is wrong and then they get caught doing it and they're like, no, I didn't do that. But the parent knows that they did do that. Moses' parents are also mentioned in Hebrews 11. If you will turn back to Hebrews 11. In Hebrews 11, 24 through 29. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he looked to the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, where the Egyptians attempting to do so were drowned. So this sums up Moses' faith. Very well. It talks about how his parents hid him when he was first born, not fearing the punishment of the Pharaoh. It talks about how Moses, he kept the Passover and listened to what God said, how he left Egypt and left the life that he could have had as a prince and chose to lead God's people. That would take a lot of faith to leave a position of power and influence and go and lead a bunch of complaining people around in a desert for a bunch of years. We must also walk in faith. And a walk of faith is the only way that God meant us to live our lives as Christians. In Colossians 2:6, says, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. If we are believers in Christ, we ought to live out our lives in faith. We need to live with the same faith we had when we first accepted Jesus. Faith is the beginning of the Christian life and the only way to live the Christian life. And for those that do not have faith, the only thing their future holds is destruction. It says in Hebrews 10, 37 through 39, so this is right before Hebrews 11. For yet in a little while, he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition. We are not of those who draw back to destruction. There we go. But of those who believe to the saving of the soul. The only unforgivable sin is to reject God's gift of salvation. Now, how does this apply to you? Questions are okay. God knows you're not perfect, and that sometimes you will question your faith. Sometimes you'll wonder where God is. But it is in these moments that we can seek to better understand who and what we have faith in. No matter how hard you look, all of creation points back to Christ. A faith that is strong is a faith that is tested, and believing something blindly makes no sense. So if you have questions about your faith, that's okay. You can look to the Bible, and God will point you to the right answer. And you don't have to have perfect faith. Abraham did not always have faith. When he went to Egypt, he lied to the Egyptians, saying that Sarah was his sister instead of his wife. He feared the Egyptians instead of trusting in God. But even though Abraham failed, his faith was still counted to him as righteousness, and he is mentioned in Hebrews 11, or the Hall of Faith. Romans 4, 2. Romans 4, 3. Nope, 2. 2 and 3. It says, "For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness." Abraham was not justified by his works. He messed up just as much as many of us do. But he was justified because of his faith in God and his faith in the promise of a Savior. Moses was also a man of great faith. But when God told him to speak to the rock to make it bring forth water, he struck it instead out of anger. And because of this, he was not able to go into the promised land. He died without seeing the fulfillment of God's promise. Samson and Gideon are also mentioned. And Samson is not really the first person to come to mind when we talk about faith. He was strong, but he wasn't exactly full of faith in God. Only when he was blind and at the end of his life did he once again turn his faith to God. Gideon was a coward. When the Midianites attacked the first time, he was hiding in one of those wine thingies that you put the wine in. And after he had victory over the Midianites, he became prideful, and he wore the garments only meant for priests. But even though both these guys did this, they're both mentioned in Hebrews 11 as having faith. Therefore, our faith does not have to be perfect to please God. God knows that you're going to mess up. God knows that there are going to be times when you question. But all that is required to please God is that we have faith. Now, how can you grow your faith? All of these people demonstrated their faith when they obeyed God and trusted Him. They trusted that God would do exactly what He said He would. They obeyed Him without knowing what was going to happen. And they trusted Him even when the odds were that what God said was going to happen wouldn't happen at all. We can grow our faith in the same way, by obeying God and trusting Him. One thing that I definitely need to work on is obeying God and witnessing to people. And I know that God has promised that He will give me the strength I need, give me the words to say what He wants me to say when I go and witness to people. And yet, somehow, it's still difficult for me to take that step of faith and listen to God. And the times I have listened to God, He has absolutely helped me and given me everything I need. And yet, still, sometimes it's difficult. Most of the time, it's difficult. But in those times that I have obeyed God, this has grown my faith because He has shown me that He will do exactly what He has promised. The more you obey God, the easier it will become to obey Him again. I would like to leave you with this modern-day parable, or an example, of what faith is like. There's a boy sleeping in his house. He wakes up, and there's fire everywhere. His family has forgotten him, and they're rushed to escape the fire. He can't use his door to escape, so he looks out his window instead. It's a long ways down to the ground, but as he looks, he sees his father standing below, saying, "Jump, son, I will catch you." There are two ways this can end. One is that the boy knows that his father can catch him. He believes his father can catch him, but he sits down in his room and waits for the fire to burn him. Or he can not just believe his father, but have total trust in him, have faith in that his father can catch him. he can jump out the window, not knowing for sure what will happen, but having faith that his father is strong enough to protect him. The boy can believe all he wants, he can know it all he wants, but until his belief becomes faith or total trust, he will die in the fire. The same is true in our lives. We can say, Lord, I believe you will give me the strength. I believe that you will give me what I need. But if we don't do anything with that belief, we don't grow. The point when faith is grown is when we step away from just knowing or just believing and step out in faith and completely trust God. Dear God, I thank you for this time in your word. I thank you for this opportunity to come up here and speak to the church. I pray that you will help this to influence their lives and that they would be able to have faith in you and grow their faith. Amen.
So I wanted to compliment what they've shared with you and bring back this from that original definition of faith, this revised definition from the essence of what that passage means. I want you guys to look at that really closely. The support of things confidently anticipated for, and the personal belief of things that are not seen. I know a lot of you here today are struggling with a lot of unknowns. Things where you don't know where to step or how to step or if you should step at all. We find ourselves in positions like that really often, looking for direction, looking for guidance, looking for help. Unfortunately, too often we look for that help in the wrong place. We look for that help in a place that's just going to lead us more into what seems like a desert, a wilderness. And so you have to sit back and ask yourself, in light of what these guys have shared, you have to ask yourself, what response does this bring me to? Am I going to continue to walk through this wilderness in a way that there's no change in my response? There's no change in where my hope is found? Or do you walk through the wilderness knowing that I serve a living God, a God who has the power to create the universe, and the same God who loves me, who knows me, who knows exactly the circumstance you're going through, and who, according to the Psalms, is a God of understanding. He doesn't just know, he understands. What do you do when you feel like God isn't present? When you feel like, where are you, God? As Grant shared, are you okay with those questions you're asking? Do you look for answers in the places where you're going to find answers? Or do you walk away? Do you lose sight of faith? Do you lose sight of any hope in that God? What is your response? How do you respond when you feel as though you're wandering in the wilderness? Time and time again, I am challenged by the notion that Abraham traveled with no direction for that long. And I know for a fact I couldn't go that long without feeling completely lost. And so that begs me to say, most of you would feel the same way. And yet, maybe you are feeling that way today. Maybe you are feeling as though you're wandering through this wilderness, kind of just trucking along. I don't know where you've got me going, God. I don't understand why you've put me in the situation you've got me in. In that moment, right now, are you recognizing that and saying, but I personally believe in what I can't see. I personally hope in the Savior, in the God who has promised me eternity. And when we recognize that, when our faith is rooted in that, then there's nothing that can come between us and what God has for us. And so this morning, my prayer is that you're immensely challenged by the definition of faith from Hebrews that these guys have presented to you. But even more than that, that you have been given a roadmap to say, if I am in this wilderness right now, or if I step into a place where I feel like I'm in that wilderness, I serve a God who's promised to be faithful even when my faith is tested, even when I may lack the faith to go through. God is faithful, and that is why our faith has to be rooted in Him. And that faith looks like this: stepping out confidently, knowing what is true, knowing that God exists, knowing that God has promised to walk with you. And then stepping out confidently, even though you can't see where you're going. And just as God commanded Joshua in Deuteronomy 31, be strong and courageous because I'm going before you. So you have to keep in mind that you are not stepping out into uncharted territory, but you are following a God who sees into the entirety of the future, and the God who loves and cares and protects you. That principle should change our life, and it should change the walk of faith that we step out on, knowing that we have a Savior who gave everything that you might have life, and that life to be lived abundantly, not because of what you have here, but because of what you're promised in the future. So I'm going to pray, and we're going to commit this to God, and we're going to join together and sing this song, Eye of the Storm. And I want you to think about, if you're that person who's in the wilderness, I want you to think about where your faith has been placed. If you're that person who tends to respond by going to the places that tend to turn up zero answers, ask yourself, where is my faith rooted? Heavenly Father, we come before you, and I thank you for the boldness of these young men to challenge us with this, to challenge me with this. The reminder that we serve a great and living God. Lord, may we not simply hear these things and so deceive ourselves, but we would do what Scripture has called us to step out in faith, knowing that we're not stepping out alone, but that we serve a God who has promised that He goes before us, that He cares for us. And Lord, that we would confidently move forward, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, even in the midst of unknowns, even in the midst of sorrow and pain, knowing that you understand, knowing that you care, and Lord, knowing that you never change. And so may we be challenged by this notion today, and may it impact our walk of faith. from this day forward. We commit this to you and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.